Dear brothers and sisters, when you visit a Korean countryside, many rice fields and farms may look similar, but you can find differences upon closer inspection. Some fields are well tender with no weeds, while others are overgrown with weeds that it's hard to tell if it's a field of vegetables or weeds. There are clean rice paddies where only rice grows, and paddies so full of barnyard grass that it's hard to tell if they're rice or grass fields. You know, some of our young children in Korea might not really know what a barnyard grass is. So if you look at it from a farming perspective, a barnyard grass is pretty much a weed, a field full of weeds. It looks similar to a rice paddy, but it's completely different. And in order to, you know, get rid of weeds, you know, you have to put in a lot of effort in order to take out the weeds. But for the rice paddies to grow very well, you need to get rid of the weeds. And even though these barnyard grasses look very similar to a rice paddy, very similar to the wheat, the farmer still needs to put in the effort to get rid of any and all weeds. So where do these differences come from? In most cases, the difference depends on who owns the field. A diligent farmer goes out to the field to tirelessly pull out weeds before it can grow. To cultivate a field without a single weed, you must work tirelessly, not only in the scorching midday sun, but in the early morning and evening. Though it's laborious, a field cultivated in this way yields a different harvest. Weeds hinder the growth of vegetables and grains, reducing the overall harvest. Even with fields of the same size, a field overrun with weeds produces far less. This would be a great loss. What about your heart field? Is it overgrown with weeds where sprouts cannot grow and no fruit is born? If it is, I hope you'll take this time to pull out all the weeds from your heart field. Proverbs 28:19, he who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. Do not be a farmer who spends time simply resting and sleeping, but become a diligent farmer who faithfully works hard and sweats to cultivate the field into good soil. Then every seed you sow will bear abundant fruit. May you diligently tend to your heart field so you can enjoy great glory in heaven and live a rich and blessed life on earth. Last week, we looked at the path-like and rocky fields. Today, we'll focus on the thorny field. What kind of ground is the thorny field? Matthew 13:7. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. Thorny ground refers to the overgrown area of many branches from a single root of a thorn bush. If you neglect to properly cultivate the field, weeds grow thick and unnecessary plants like thorn bushes take root. You know, it's not like these weeds were planted on purpose. A lot of these weeds come from elsewhere. You know, they fly in from the wind or from other animals. So when farmers try to farm their fields, it becomes very negative on the fields. So thorny vines from thorn bushes nearby can aggressively take root in your own field. When the seed falls on the path, it does not sprout at all. When it falls on rocky ground, it quickly withers and dies, even if the seed sprouts. When the seed falls among the thorns, it sprouts and grows to a certain extent. So it's different to the path-like soil and the rocky soil. And this is because, you know, there are, you know, the soil within is very hard, so it's hard for the roots to take place, which means on the path, like in the rocky grounds, it's only surface-like. The roots only take place surface-like. They don't go deep. But the thorny ground still doesn't bear fruit. It's definitely better than the path or the rocky ground. Even if it does bear fruit, because of the other thorns, it's hard for it to fully bear good fruit. Though the seed sprouts, it can no longer grow after a certain point as it gets choked by the thorns. Jesus explains in Matthew 13, verse 22, the kind of heart the thorny ground represents. And the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The path-like ground does not receive the word at all. The rocky ground hears the word, understands, and even receives grace, but does not put it into practice. Unlike these, the thorny heart field hears God's word, believes, and even acts upon it. The problem is that a thorny heart field doesn't fully carry out the word. This is due to the thorns in the heart, which are worldly worries and greed for wealth, honor, or power. Due to the fleshly desires in the heart, you act on God's word according to personal benefit and fleshly thoughts. Though you claim to live by the word, you have trials and tribulations. It's important to remove thorns and properly put the word into practice. Then the sprout of the word can grow strong and bear abundant fruit spiritually and physically. Let's look more at the thorny ground. I encourage you to examine yourselves to see whether thorns are growing in your own heart. Let's first look at how the thorn of the worldly burdens can prevent the word from growing. Right now, we're all obeying God's command to keep the Sabbath day holy. On Sundays, a day when worldly people rest comfortably, we come to church to worship. We believe in the truth of God's word, that only by keeping the Lord's day can you be recognized as a child of God and receive His blessings. Whilst keeping the Sabbath in the house of God, is anyone not truly enjoying rest? Having worries or burdens about household chores, business, work, studies, and grades. Or perhaps you're going on a holiday soon and thinking about how to spend your time on holiday. These fleshly concerns constantly flood your mind. When you're caught up in the anxiety and worry, you cannot truly worship in spirit and truth. You should be gaining comfort and renewed strength through worship at church. But your worries only increase. If this is the case, if you think about, say, our students, our teenagers, you know, they might think that their friends are either having fun or perhaps they're, you know, getting tutored on Sundays. And in Korea, you know, it's natural to get tutored on the weekends. And if you think about our teenagers who go to church, they're at church and they're not getting the extra lessons required for their academic success. So they might get worried about, you know, their friends getting more help with tutoring and getting better results. And if they're concerned about these fleshly thoughts, then, you know, you cannot say that you're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And when you do actually start studying, your concentration can fall. But Father God is not like this. Like if you believe in God's word, if you obey, and even if your study time might be less than others, you can, you know, Father God will help you so that you can study the, you know, twice as much or three times as much despite the less time spent on studying. Father God gives blessings and grace. So when you get rid of fleshly concerns and believe in God, but it's hard to sometimes, you need to look back on yourself. And if you cannot get rid of these fleshly concerns and leave everything to God's hands, then you don't have true faith. Then these thorny fields, the thorns, will keep growing. So, you know, when you're caught up in the anxiety and worry, you cannot truly worship in spirit and in truth. So if you, then you won't be able to receive the blessings from God. You should be gaining comfort and renewed strength through worship at church. But your worries only increase. If this is the case, you'll not be able to taste the true joy and peace that comes from keeping the Sabbath, no matter the years you spend attending church on Sundays. Father God gave the Sabbath day so that, you know, we can enjoy true rest in the Lord and to give blessings. So you might think, you know, if you've got worldly concerns, how can you enjoy rest in the Lord? Then you might doubt and think, if I enjoy true rest in the Lord, will God, you know, make all of these worldly concerns go away? Yes, Father God can. But you have to do so in spirit and in truth. You have to worship in spirit and in truth. You have to keep the Sabbath day holy and really enjoy true rest spiritually. You know, it's listening to the word of God and being grateful and knowing that, yes, Father God will solve my problems if I act according to his words. But if you don't act according to God's words, like your body might be watching the service, but your heart and your thoughts are elsewhere, then God does not say that you've kept the Sabbath day holy. You know, it really depends on your heart and your thoughts, your mindset. So when you entrust all worldly matters to him in faith, then you can enjoy peace and joy. And God will give you blessings spiritually and physically. It's the same when you worship, pray, and serve God in your daily lives. It depends, you know, depending on the heart of your actions, your deeds may or may not bear the fruit of blessings. For example, doing God's work requires offering time and labor. If you serve with burden and think you're too busy with, you know, business, with studies or housework, then God cannot receive your service with gladness. The same principle applies whether you offer through effort, heart, time, talent, or finances. If you say you're doing God's work but think of your company's work, or give offerings with a reluctant or stingy heart, thinking to use the money elsewhere, then God cannot receive it gladly. Even if God desires to repay you 30, 60, or 100-fold, he cannot do so. What kind of heart should follow our actions? Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 34. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has done enough trouble on its own. God desires that whatever we offer or do for Him be done in faith. It's important to act with faith, believe that our matter will be taken care of when we do God's work, and believe God will repay with greater when we offer our best. Colossians 3 verse 1, therefore if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. The Lord is preparing a dwelling place for us in heaven and is waiting for us. How foolish is it for God's children to be attached to the perishable flesh and life of this world? May you pull out the thorn of worldly burdens and act on God's word with complete faith. I pray in the name of the Lord that you'll reap the fruits that God grows daily with joy. You know, we said that worldly burdens are the thorns. And these worldly thorns are negative in receiving God's blessings. So all of these worldly concerns is not truly believing in God. It means you lack in having true faith. And if you don't have true faith before God, then you cannot receive blessings and answers from God. So, you know, the habit that you've got in constantly having fleshly concerns. So you need to make sure that you don't have these fleshly concerns. And sometimes it's hard for people to not to stop worldly concerns, fleshly concerns. Then have a think about God. God is almighty, is the creator of the universe. And if you think about the healing testimonies that we hear at church, some of these testimonies say that, you know, they've gone to the hospital, but, you know, the hospital could do nothing, or the hospital could only do a little bit. But, and then they testify saying that one prayer from God's servant ended up with full healing. Of course, you know, it's not that we can't not have concerns, but the problem is whether these thoughts are spiritual or fleshly. You need to change fleshly concerns and fleshly thoughts into spiritual thoughts, into thoughts of faith. Just because you pray and ask God to not have fleshly thoughts and have spiritual thoughts instead doesn't mean it's going to happen. The soul is under the flesh. Just because you pray to change your thoughts doesn't mean that it will happen. You know, God didn't give us free will so that He can control us. It's up to us. If you say that you've tried to change your fleshly thoughts into spiritual thoughts, then this is why you need to fervently pray. This is why when you listen to testimonies of faith, that you need to, you know, embed it deep in your heart. So when you think about the world and, you know, many work, and you look at worldly people who have their funds, they indulge. You know, they live 6 days in the week in the world. Just because you go to church one day a week on Sundays doesn't mean that you're, you know, living in the spiritual. Whatever it is that you hear, see, all of these attributes lead to your fleshly thoughts. If you look at lustful, you know, videos or content, then you'll have lustful thoughts. If you, you know, have a heart of prayer, if you listen to God's word, to the gospel of holiness, if you meditate on the word, then your thoughts will change into spiritual thoughts. So you need to be able to control, take control of your thoughts. This is having hope. And this is, you know, cutting out the thorns of the thorn bushes. Next, let's look at how the sprout of the word fails to grow due to the deceitfulness of wealth. When there is greed in the heart, greed for wealth, honor, power, or other worldly gain, it becomes impossible to fully obey the word of God. When temptation comes, it's easy to fall and fail to act according to God's will. For example, you all long for God's blessings. You desire to receive blessings of finance and health to glorify and build God's kingdom, so you strive to live according to His will. When making important business or workplace decisions, you pray to God first. But are you truly obeying God's answers? Or when it's time to act, do you rely on your own knowledge and experience? God shows you the path of A, yet you go down the path of B because of your perspective. B seems better. This means you reject the guidance of the Holy Spirit and follow your own thoughts and reasoning. Some of you might think you're following the Spirit-led path of A, but end up going down a completely different path, which is C. No matter how willing the heart to obey, you cannot fully obey the Word of God if it's filled with fleshly thoughts. These fleshly thoughts often stem from the desire to gain more in a short period of time. Based on your knowledge, experience, or common sense, choosing B may seem more reasonable. Choosing B might even produce many results short term. But ultimately, it doesn't bear good fruit. Brothers and sisters, God's will is for His children to walk the right path. He commands us to obey not only God's law, but also the laws of this world. But many these days say that this is foolish. People say you have to take shortcuts to get higher profits, but this is simply human logic. From faith's perspective, it's not right. You might evade the laws of this world, but the spiritual laws established by God can never be avoided. You cannot hide from the eyes of God who governs death and life, blessing and calamity. It's important to first obey the spiritual laws to receive God's protection so you can prosper and receive blessings. God is wiser than any other in this world. The path God leads us is the quickest shortcut and the surest way to bear abundant fruit. To believe and walk the right path according to God's will leads to the work of faith. When you cast off greed for wealth, the path of wisdom becomes clearly visible. It's because greed stirs up fleshly thoughts. These fleshly thoughts blind the eyes and lead us down a path of dead ends.
자신의 지식과 경험을 바탕으로 어느 정도
Based on your own knowledge and experience, you may achieve some measure of success, but you won't be able to receive the full blessing of God.
어떤 사람들은 모든 일을 자기 생각대로 해.
For example, some people work according to their own ideas. When things go fairly well, they testify that they have been blessed by God. But for their success to continue, they need to rely on worldly knowledge and methods. Sometimes this involves unlawful actions because God cannot protect them. They cannot prosper. Everything they've built can collapse in an instant. Though they say they rely on God, they act according to their own thoughts and hide God's glory. It's why God cannot give the blessings to those who have the thorny ground of greed in the heart. So they try to, you know, look at worldly wealths. And even though God tells you and gives you a sign to, you know, go a different way, all you do is you act upon your own wisdom and your own knowledge. And of course, you might not fail, but you know, you can't prosper. And then if you continue that way, you may end up being involved in unlawful actions. When that happens, God cannot protect you. And people say, God didn't protect me. But it's not that God didn't protect you. It's that you left the boundaries of God's protection because your eyes were covered by greed and wealth and power. You know, you say that you try to rely on God, but you end up not relying on God. So when you know, God cannot give you the blessings to those who have the thorny ground of greed in the heart. So when you have, but when you, even though you've got greed in the heart still, but when you are faithful and you are full of fullness, you'll see that, you know, people still receive blessings. So, you know, from God's perspective, you still have greed in the heart, you still have thorns, but these children of God were able to receive blessings and answers because of the prayer from God's servant. But can this last forever? No. You need to be able to be transformed yourself. You need to be able to become holy and sanctified and receive blessings and answers directly from God. And that way you can receive more blessings and answers from God. You need to be able to help other people receive blessings and answers. You need to grow in faith and not just stay stagnant. So if you think about it, you know, a lot of these people who received answers and blessings because of Pastor Emeritus's Lee or because of a prayer from, you know, God's great servant, they end up misunderstanding later on and think it was because of their good faith, that it was God who blessed them. Of course, God blessed you, but it was through Pastor Emeritus's prayer because of Pastor Emeritus's faithfulness and measure of faith, not because of your measure of faith or faithfulness. When you weren't able to receive 30, 60, 100-fold times the blessings or, you know, have answers to your problems, you went before God's servant. You went before Pastor Emeritus Lee. And through his prayer, God blessed you. But so many people forget this. So many people forget the middle person who connected you to God. So you need to be able to think of this as a lesson, you know, to get rid of these thorns, get rid of the greed of the world. This is getting rid of the thorn of greed from the heart and fully obey God's will so that He can bless you as desired.
것입니다.
The same applies when God's workers are doing God's work. How can you become a worker recognized by God and loved by church members? Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 35, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. This is God's will, to serve others. But a person with selfish motives does not act according to God's word. Instead, they use human methods to exalt themselves. For example, they do God's work with worldly wisdom. They try to gather new church members through fleshly means. At first, it may seem like the flock is united in heart and God's work is being accomplished, but fruit gained in this way collapses like a sandcastle when a single wave comes. This is because they do not follow the voice of the Holy Spirit to fulfill their mission, nor give spiritual love and service to new Christians. So when you evangelize people, you spread the gospel of holiness, and when these people open their hearts, they come to church. And not only spiritually, but when you evangelize, you also need the, you know, fleshly components. You need to look after them, care for them, perhaps, you know, give them food if they need food, or help them out in different areas of their life. The fleshly component and the spiritual evangelism must work in tandem. But sometimes all you think about is bringing these people to church. Sometimes they're so fervent in the fleshly, you know, aspect that they, you know, you ask these people to just come to church once, and, you know, they really do just come to church once. They don't come again. When you evangelize, and these new believers end up signing up and registering as Christians, you know, this is the result of having good fleshly care and also spiritual evangelism as well. It's, you know, these people receive, you know, have grace from the way that you look after them and the way you speak and your actions. They get moved by your goodness. And then when you do that, you know, it's good evangelism, that they constantly come to church and that they grow in faith. It's not just simply registering a name on the church registrar and coming to church just once. It's making sure that these new Christians actually have faith. It's good when you evangelize spiritually and in a fleshly way, that to, you know, just come to church and see for yourself, so that these people can open their hearts and actually have faith themselves. It's not just looking after them in a fleshly way and being nice to them. When you just be nice to them, then these people can get upset over little things. Sometimes some people require, their personalities require strong leadership, almost like forcing them to, you know, pray and whatnot. But not everyone's like that. So even though, you know, at first it may, even though souls can easily turn away over small matters, from a church worker's perspectives, you might think you're serving, but then anger arises to show flesh when feelings get hurt. So this is, you know, a thorny heart. This is the thorny heart of wanting to get recognition. You need to look back on yourself and find out what kind of thorny hearts you've got. So no matter how good the actions appear, selfish motives in the heart will be revealed. How can you cultivate the thorny ground? You must uproot the thorns completely. The thorns represent fleshly thoughts, Its root is the evil in the heart and the flesh itself. In other words, the evil and flesh in the heart are source of fleshly thoughts. If you only cut off the branches of the thorns, they will sprout again from the root. No matter how much you say not to think according to the flesh, you cannot succeed if there is evil in the heart. So you might think, you know, let's not hate this person. And you might hold on to that for a little bit. But if you've got the thorn of hatred in your heart, then it'll continue. So if you think about the hatred in your heart, then you need to get rid of the thorn of hatred first. When you first pull out the large roots, the small roots can be uprooted together. Uprooting the two large roots of greed and pride will remove a lot of flesh from the heart. Because of greed, the desire to have more, gain more, and enjoy more, you get entangled in the world and worry about worldly matters. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Despite claiming to live by God's word, some calculate and weigh what's more profitable and live according to their own will. Due to pride, perfect obedience cannot come forth. Having thoughts that they can do it themselves, people rely on their own wisdom and follow fleshly thoughts. It's important to uproot the root of selfishness and pride. You might think, you know, it doesn't relate to you. Then you need to think about other thorns that are rooted. Perhaps it's, you know, the thorn of lust, like you want to be in a relationship with other people. Or having thoughts of, you know, dating. Perhaps it's not about dating. Perhaps you've got the thorn of recognition, wanting to get recognition and getting upset when you don't get recognition. You know, being happy and joyful when you do get recognized by others, but then feeling really down when no one gives you recognition. You must be able to reflect upon yourself and find these thorns. For some people, you're unable to find the ego, the fleshly thoughts that are coming out from your own ego, from your own emotions. Some people are quite numb to their own emotions. Some people have fleshly thoughts and, you know, bad emotions, negative feelings. Other people say, you know, this person doesn't seem very full of the Spirit. But then, in reality, you're completely fine. Then these people, sometimes you don't recognize that you're actually lost the fullness of the Spirit. Most of the time, they're introverts, people that don't express themselves. A lot of introverts, they're unable to find the emotions, the negative emotions, the negative perspectives in their own hearts that become a thorn in their heart. So even though your heart might not be full of all of these different thorns, you need to think about, you know, if there are certain areas that have the grassy bushlands. Dear brothers and sisters, there is an easy way to uproot thorns. It's to understand how the thorns hurt your heart. For example, what is the worldly burden that constantly worries you? God commands you to always rejoice, but it can be difficult when you're filled with anxiety and sorrow. Is there something you long for, yet your heart feels empty and saddened when it remains out of reach? For some, it may be finances, and for others, honor or power. but some it might be being loved and praised. No matter how much you have, it can never bring true satisfaction to the heart. Desiring these things is like trying to catch the wind. No matter how much you grasp, it slips away. So even while believing in God, you have worry and no satisfaction in the heart. This would indeed be frustrating. If you deeply wonder and pray why you need to hold on to thorns that burden your heart, then the Holy Spirit will give you great understanding. When you grasp this fervently, just because you worry doesn't mean it's going to change. So if you think about that, then in the time that you would worry, then choose what would be good before God. Choose what would be right before God. Just because, you know, you gain everything in the world doesn't mean you'll get true satisfaction. When I'm at home, I don't usually go out. So these days sometimes I buy online. I go online shopping. And when I search for things that I need, I buy certain things that I require. And other times I have to think whether this item is something that I need or if it's something that I want. So I put it in, you know, like the basket. When you online shop, you've got like a basket. So I put it in the basket. I don't buy it straight away, though. And so that next time I look back, I can think again whether it's a need or a want. And, you know, later on, I check my basket and there's quite a lot of items in there. So if you think about your spiritual life as well, you know, when you hold on to certain thorns, it ends up pointing at it and poking at people around you, your friends, your family. So let's say that you wanted something in the world, but you're unable to, and then you end up complaining and grumbling to people around you. It's not positive. You end up making other people tired and weary. And if you can feel that, you know, this relates to not receiving God's blessings, then you can uproot the thorns. Then the sprout of the word can grow and bear fruit to bring forth true happiness. What you should truly yearn and desire is heaven, the best heaven, which is New Jerusalem. So don't look back and boldly press forward toward the pearly gates of New Jerusalem. I pray in the name of the Lord that you can enjoy the greatest joy.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. all mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.